Welcome to my audio blog on Peter's second epistle. This section, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Verse 5 says, "For this very reason," of course, for this very reason, you have to look back on the last verse to see what reason we're talking about. Peter had just spoken about participating in God's divine nature instead of participating in the corruption of the world. So with this in mind, because we're participating in God's divine nature, Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith, that is your trust in Jesus, goodness. Now, let's look at what Peter is going to do here. He's saying, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That's verses 5 through 7. It appears on the surface we've got a progression here. You start with faith. Once you get faith down, you go to goodness. Once you get goodness down, you go to knowledge, and on it goes. But I'm not really sure that Peter is saying it in this way, because we as feeble, fallible Christians will never get any of these things really down. This is what I think Peter is saying, and people can argue against me, and I may be wrong. I think he's saying that we have to have these characteristics simultaneously growing together. It's not that we just work on faith, and when we got that one down, we go to goodness. When we got goodness down, we go to knowledge, because if that really was the case, we wouldn't get by faith, because we struggle to trust Jesus in every area of our lives at one point or another. These are qualities that Peter says we've got to grow in, and especially when you read verse 8, which says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," these qualities must be in increasing measure. They should be growing simultaneously if we are participating in the very nature of God. Notice the word possess here. We possess these characteristics. They should be a part of us. Faith, goodness, knowledge, brotherly kindness, love. They should be within us, a part of us, and growing as we mature, as we participate in the divine nature of God, and as we escape the corruption of the world. It's the corruption of the world still in our lives that slows down this process. So verse 8 says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We have two words here, ineffective and unproductive. Do Western Christians think of their lives as Christians being effective and productive? When I think of these words, effective and productive, I kind of tend to think in economic terms. A factory is supposed to be productive. If it's not productive, you lose money. In terms of our Christian lives, we need to think of productivity and being effective. And again, I just don't think the modern Christian thinks in those terms. If you are a productive Christian, that means you are accomplishing something with results. The job that God has given you, you are working at it, and you are getting results. And that is being a productive Christian. North American Christianity doesn't really think in terms of doing God's will. We think in terms of going to church, sitting in a meeting, or whatever. But Jesus wants us to be productive, and we cannot be productive if these qualities aren't possessed within us in increasing ways. Notice it's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The productivity can't come about in our lives if there is no productivity in understanding, knowing Jesus better tomorrow than we do today. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, meaning these qualities, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. We have blind, visually impaired Christians around because these qualities aren't necessarily in many North American Western style Christians. We have blind Christians. And you know, when we think of blindness, spiritual blindness within God's people, if you look at the Old Testament, you will see that God does blind his people at times because they refuse to allow these characteristics to become a part of them. We are blind spiritually, first of all, because we do not participate in the divine nature. We do not give our lives totally to Jesus. And we eventually allow the corruption of the world to come in us. And we begin to slide away. Sooner or later, as you slide, the visual impairment that you have brought upon yourself becomes blindness from the Lord, and you forget the past sins you have been forgiven of. And that is one sad commentary, to forget that Jesus has forgiven your past sins. To forget about that, that tells me that you have really strayed from the Lord. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. God has called us to himself. The word election means choice. God has chosen us. We see a dichotomy here. A number of scriptures say, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And there are scriptures like this that says, God calls on you. Who does the calling? Well, I don't believe we can call on God without him helping us call. I think we are that depraved. I think humanity is so depraved, we do not have the ability to even call on God. When we get into a serious mess, God calls on us. He's there. He's making himself available. He even helps us call on him. So when we reach out and call on him, his call meets our call and something happens. It's salvation. If we're already saved, it's God's help in our lives. Peter goes on to say, for if you do these things, you will never fall. If these characteristics are in you, if you understand that you have been called, that you have been chosen, then you won't fall. You won't get to the place where you have forgotten that Jesus has forgiven your sins. There should be a place where a Christian reaches maturity that you know from that point on he is not going to fall away. I believe this is what Peter is saying. Verse 11 says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we see Peter saying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not our Lord and Savior Nero. And when it comes to the place that we will never fall, when these things are working within us, we can be sure that sometime in the future, we will be richly welcomed, not just welcomed, but richly welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself into his eternal kingdom. In his eternal kingdom, as in opposition to the kingdom of Nero, the Roman kingdom. It's better to be welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom than be welcomed by any leader of any kingdom of man upon this earth. That's it for this section.